Okay, and this is your opportunity now as we chat with Dr. Wayne Dyer about his latest work, I Can See Clearly Now, and some of your stories when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We'll take your calls in a moment. Dr. Wayne Dyer with us. Wayne, what is the biggest single obstacle that prevents people from changing themselves?
The belief that they can't. You know, that's to be, as I said, we become what we believe. We become what we think about. And whether you think you can do something or whether you think you can't do something, as Henry Ford said, either way, you're right. It's this mind of ours and these thoughts that we have, you know, they have an impact on everything. My daughter and I just put out a book together. It's called Goodbye Bumps. And it's a story.
Who's Bumps?
Bumps, yeah. She had, when she was a little girl, she had flat warts on her face. She was 5 years old. And we went to a dermatologist here in Maui, and he said, we can either burn them off, we can give a medication, which is going to leave some red marks on your face and so on. And I said to her, there's a third option, and that option is that you can talk to them and, you know, and just invite them to leave and so on. And she did it for 3 days. Literally, she wrote a little story about it. I put it in one of my earlier books. And now we've just written a children's book about it. You know, a little girl believing, because children believe if their parents tell them something and they think their parents are the smartest people in the world, it takes them a while to discover it's not the truth. And now we've done a children's book on it, and already we're getting people who have been reading this little children's book saying that their kids are starting to see that they have within them, you know, the power to change things, because every thought has a physiological reaction, you know, in our bodies. You know, we know an ulcer comes about as a result of thinking stressful thoughts, that our thoughts can literally create physical things in our body, and it can also make physical things that we don't like go away. But you've got to understand these thoughts of yours that you choose are really the building blocks of what your life is.
I like that. And that's
yeah.
That happens.
Goodbye Bumps. I really recommend
Goodbye
you.
Goodbye Bumps. Yeah.
Goodbye Bumps. Yeah. She wouldn't call them warts. She hated the word warts, so she called them her bumps.
Now, yet we're human beings, Wayne, so we're subjected to, you know, the day-to-day events of ups and downs, of tragedies, of sickness. Can we still be realistic and say we can change ourselves even when we're mired in that kind of situation?
I think we have to realize that we're often mired in our state of being mired in those situations is really the result of the way that we've processed a lot of the events of our life. A lot of the illnesses that we have come about as a result of just not treating our body, you know, as a temple and treating, you know, this glorious thing that occupies our soul, you know, for this short period of time that we're here in what I call this parenthesis in eternity. You know, we just don't treat it the way that it ought to be treated, and consequently, we end up with heart disease, and we end up with diabetes, and we end up with obesity and cancers and so many things. In fact, Anita in Dying to Be Me says that she believes that that fear is the basic cause of virtually all illness, and especially cancer. That there's more people making a living off of cancer than have it. And that it's become like this huge epidemic in our world, and it's something that we can do something about. Our thoughts create so much of the stuff that we just, you know, we don't want to acknowledge that. And I don't say that, you know, you're being punished for any of the thoughts that you have. I'm saying just recognize that you're aligned with them, that whatever it is, whatever accident has shown up or whatever illness or whatever circumstance in your life, just recognize that who you are is aligned with that. And make a decision to be realigned with something else. Realign yourself with God or with divine love.
What about the devil? Where does the devil come in to try to screw things up for us?
To me, it's just a silliness. You know, that's like, you know, if God created everything, then God had to create the devil. And everything that it says right in the book of Genesis, everything that God created was good. So how could something be created that wasn't good, something like a devil? And that this, you know, this intelligence that is the architect of the entire universe needs to be constantly in a battle with something called Lucifer is, to me, is just a silliness.
All right, to the phones now we go. Cindy is in Chico, California. You're on with Dr. Wayne Dyer. Cindy, go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
I just wanted to tell you that I am a follower of C.D. Ram Dass. whose credo is click here now. Now, that's a joke I came up with many years ago.
Terrible.
You never know anyone old enough that can get it.
Well, I'm old enough. I get it.
Well, just remember that Cindy told you that if you talk to Baba.
Okay. Well, I'll be speaking to him tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Wonderful, because I have wanted to let him know about that. It just came to me years ago. Any rate, there is another reason I've called, and that's that, I worked hard for many, many years and did really well in my position and fed off of that praise that I got from customers and my bosses. And ultimately, and I love my job. You know, it's not one of those stressful jobs that give you the ulcers and whatnot. But still, I got sick. I got very, very sick, and now I'm disabled and on Social Security. And I've heard of John of God, right?
John of God. John of God. I would Google it, and you can do remote healings, and they don't charge anybody ever. They never have charged anybody. You can go down there to the Casa in Abidjania. I was with him in person at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, last September.
He travels up here then?
He was coming to New York. I don't know if he still is, because he's getting up there and he's got some health issues himself.
Yeah.
But he doesn't take any credit for doing any of this. He said that God does all the healing. It just works through him. You know, I did a show with Oprah Winfrey on this whole thing, on her Super Soul Sunday.
I remember that.
And, after I talked, we talked for like an hour and a half about this experience. She then, she has the benefit of having her own plane and all of those sort of things. And she went down there and had a meeting with him, and it was one of the most remarkable meetings she's ever had in her life.
I believe it. I've seen him, not on Oprah, but on PBS or something like that.
Right.
That's where I see you all the time.
Right. You'll be seeing me a lot right now. We've got a brand new show just coming
out. I will be watching for it. Today is the first day I ever heard about remote healings. So I'm really jazzed about that, and I wanted to call you and ask about that. Thank you.
Well, what
they
do is you have to take four pictures, all dressed in white. You take a picture from the front, from the back, and from both sides. And then you have to be taking these herbs in order for them to accept you as someone who will receive a treatment, what they call a treatment, a surgical intervention or so on. Sometimes if it's done remotely, obviously there's no hands-on kind of thing. But there are times when you can go on the internet and you can see some of these healings that have taken place down there. In fact, when Oprah sent, there was a physician from Harvard University, a very left brain, very much into modern medicine and so on, and he went down there, and he was walking. He was observing what was taking place, and these physical surgeries were being taken place, where a probe was put into a person's nose and would go all the way up into their brain, where he would actually take like a kitchen knife, and without even using any anesthesia or without even using any antiseptics and so on, he would just, and they've never had any occasion of sepsis or any kind of infection or from all of this, when it's like, it just seems like it's all done in such a primitive way. And you can absolutely watch them do this thing. And when I had the remote surgery, it was as if somebody had come into and scraped out my eye, when you can see them doing the actual scrapings of the eye. The most amazing things happened. This physician who was down there at Harvard, he was saying, I just cannot. He was observing a surgery taking place. He said, all of my medical training does not allow me to be able to even express that this is a possibility. I just don't know what it is. He said, I still don't understand it. I don't even believe it, but it's happening. And he was walking out, and he was talking to the people who were there with the Oprah show, and he was saying, I just don't understand that. And all of a sudden, he started bleeding from underneath his heart, and he couldn't stop the bleeding. And, it was like, his blood was coming out of it. It wasn't gushing out, but it was like he couldn't stop it. And he said, I don't understand that. I don't have any kind of a blood disease. I don't have anything like that. And the person next to him in Portuguese said to him, this is what the entities have done. They have opened up his heart so that he will be open to it. And now this former medical doctor from Harvard University on the teaching staff there is now one of his biggest devotees and goes around the world telling people about the miraculousness of believing, you know, and what is taking place there. It's beyond my ability to explain it, but it's I've actually had two interventions with it, and both times I've emerged as a happier, less fearful, and more loving being, and much, much, much healthier. I had to give up yoga when I got my diagnosis of leukemia, and it was about 3 days after I had the suture removal. I heard a voice inside of me say, "You can go back to yoga. You don't have to be afraid of it anymore." And I went back, and I was able to just pick up as if nothing had happened. And now I'm back exercising, swimming every day, walking, doing yoga, all of the kind of things that that I wasn't supposed to be able to do with a 3-year-old diagnosis of leukemia. So
you're 73, Wayne. How old do you feel?
Oh, my God, 18? Really? I feel like a teenager, and even my kids ask me when I'm going to grow up. So.
Well, you mentioned, you know, John of God. He's been doing this for 40 years. He's apparently helped 15 million people. Why can't he turn that power on himself, or can he?
No, he answers that question. Yeah, because he's overweight himself, and he's sickly, and I don't know. You know, they said that his health is deteriorating. He's just turning 70, I believe, this year. Because he said, I don't do any of this healing. You know, he's got like a seventh grade education. He's a gemologist. I mean, he worked in the mines down there and was just a jeweler kind of person. He's a peasant person. He's not a highly educated man or anything, but he's had this gift since he was a very, very young man. And, he said that I don't do the healing. God does the healing, and yeah, I can't explain why God would choose me to do this. He doesn't remember ever doing any of it. He goes into like a walking coma when he's doing it.
He didn't get hit by a bolt of lightning or anything like that.
No. It's just been something that's been with him. It's his dharma. It's just teaching, you know, that all things are possible.
And
it's in a place that's so beautiful down there in Brazil. I mean, it's built on a place where they have an awful lot of crystals, like a crystal mountain there. It's an amazing place.
Yeah. When's the next time you're on the continental part of the States?
I'll be in Colorado. I'm speaking in Denver at the end of this month, and then in Fort Lauderdale.
You're going to be in Denver. We should grab you for Beyond Belief.
I know. I'm not going to be able to do it this time, but I'm going to commit to making that happen.
Yeah, because we tape it in the Denver area. It's in Boulder.
Yeah, you tape it, but it's on a Sunday, and I have to be back on Maui. My children are here.
All right, let's work it out the next time you're over. All right, let's go next to Mike in St. Louis. Welcome to the show. Mike, it is freezing here.
Unbelievable. It is freezing here.
Oh, my gosh. You're not driving, are you?
No, I'm tucked away in the house, warm,
right,
peaceful.
Okay.
Wayne, I'm a scurvy elephant.
Are you? Oh, boy. We should probably explain that.
You will after I hang up, I'm sure.
Right.
I have a dilemma, and I'd like to preface everything I'm about to say. Just prior to calling in, I had a very lengthy and healing conversation with a wonderful woman I was involved in a long-term relationship with before it ended badly. And we got to voice a lot of things, and we found some peace.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually is the one who introduced me to your work. I never really took any of that sort of thing seriously, but I became immersed in it after our relationship. And I began to look into meditation. I began to look into other teachers. And I can tell you far and away my favorite are the Indians. I think that they have some beautiful teachings and a lot of truths, ancient truths, things that they knew long before the rest of us did.
You're speaking about the India Indians, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all of that said, what I've found is that in following those teachings and following my own path in the process, I became a peaceful man in a detached sort of way. Mm-hmm. I became a man who didn't take things seriously, never got upset about anything, just a peace-loving individual. And what happened is I ran into financial hardship and a sense of detachment from people to the point where family and friends told me I needed to come back to Earth, when what I thought was they needed to reach out into the ether and maybe join me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, I've had to get more involved and become more a part of society. But having had that detachment and then having, I study contract law as a hobby, and I can see how our government, society, nothing is real. It's all based, it's an illusion, and a lot of it is based on lies and deceit. And it disgusts me to my core to see it happening around me. And I try to help my brothers and sisters to understand some perspective, but all it makes me is annoying, Wayne. And, yeah. and it's beginning to make me cynical. And the reason for my call is I would really like for you to help me to understand what would be a nice middle ground. What are some things I can teach myself to think and do?
Well, first of all, I would suggest that you stay away from the news, you know,
and
I'm talking about what you're reading. And the movies that you see, the violence that is out there, all of the kinds of inputs that you have, and to try to make a shift where you only allow loving thoughts to come into your consciousness. And whenever you find yourself, seeing what you just described as, you know, the illusions and the corruption and the things that you dislike and so on, is to realize that every single one of those thoughts is going to have a physical reaction, is going to take place within your body, you know, whether it's you're going to get the flu or whether you're going to get sick or you're going to get fatigued or whatever it might be. So, you know, just the way to take care of your own health is to think thoughts that are going to be salubrious, towards your health, rather than those that are going to be destructive and deleterious to your health. So that would be the first suggestion I have. And then it's like, I would say just to find you, to be around people that you want to be like. And I think that's one of the things that I've done in my life. If I find myself in a situation where I'm with people that I don't want to be like, that I wouldn't want to, emulate in any way in my life, I just remove myself from those kind of situations and find myself, which consequently allows me to have a lot of time to be alone and to read and to meditate and so on. So it's like meditation and getting quiet and getting more peaceful and not allowing thoughts of how corrupt the world is, because for every act of evil in the world, there's a million acts of kindness. And you have a choice about where you're going to put your thoughts. You can put them on the things that you don't like, which is what the news does, or you can put it on what it is that you want to create, what kind of world that you want to be. And you can go out into the world and you can really practice this wherever you see that kind of distasteful things that you say are making you more annoyed. You can change your attitude towards all of that and realize, I think, that it's just going to take a few of us to reach higher levels of consciousness where we can really make a shift on this planet. We're going to have to if we're going to survive as a people.
We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with final phone calls and stories with Dr. Wayne Dyer, author, of course, of I Can See Clearly. On our Monday night Coast to Coast program, I'll be talking with Dr. John Dvorak about how he believes the San Andreas Fault could be a ticking tectonic time bomb. Oh boy, just what we need. And the rest of the week, of course, David Weatherly back with us as we talk about those black-eyed children and strange intruders. Patrick Tucker joins me on Wednesday as we talk about what happens in a world that anticipates your every move. So you're going to enjoy that program, split show for you on Thursday. And then I'll be back on Friday again as we talk about Bigfoot and open lines. We're going to come back in a moment, though, with Dr. Wayne Dyer, and we shall take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Dr. Wayne Dyer with us, of course, and your final phone calls. Wayne, I've got to tell you, I've interviewed thousands of people, and your energy level has got to be one of the highest ever. Good for you.
Well, thank you. I still get excited about doing this. This was the very first interview I ever did. That's the way I treat them all. Yeah.
Do you take a lot of supplements? And
I do.
Things like that? Okay.
Yeah, I take supplements, and I watch what I eat. And I'll tell you, one of the most important things I've ever done is I've gone gluten-free since last summer solstice. I read a book by a guy named Bill Davis, who's a cardiologist, about close to a year ago. It's called Wheat Belly, and changed my life completely. I mean, I can't begin to tell you all of the wonderful changes that took place. Losing weight around the middle, no more bloating, it even took away some fungus that I'd had on a toe for like 25 years.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing. And my wife, who's had seizures once or twice a week for the last, 10 or 15 years, and 5 grand mal or 4 grand mal, and, regular seizures, went gluten-free and just completely stopped it. So I haven't had any gluten in my body at all since the summer solstice last year. I've taken off about 18, 20 pounds around the middle, and I've never felt better in my life. And I really recommend it to everyone.
Well, when you're talking about gluten, what kind of products would create
wheat.
A lot of good?
Wheat, basically
wheat.
Especially
breads, yeah. Things
yeah.
like that?
Yeah, breads, pastas. There's gluten's in about 80% of the foods that we eat, especially processed foods. It's in salad dressings. It's in soy sauce. It's in a lot of stuff. And gluten is the stuff that holds things together. So it's just been a marvelous thing for me. And it's basically because the wheat that they're making today is not like anything like the wheat that we ate when we were kids, the Wheaties
no.
and so on that we had. It's all been genetically modified. It's grown on a basis of something called calories per acre. Wheat used to be, remember, amber waves of grain, 5 feet tall, just always. Wheat is now about 18 inches tall, and they can grow, about 10 times as much on an acre of food as they used to. And, it's been altered to a point where it has pesticides built into it, and we're eating that stuff.
That's
and
right.
I haven't looked at the long-term effects. Except that we've seen just really dramatic changes, like the number of children who are born, with serious impairments,
and ADHD and everything else.
ADHD and obesity. I mean, our obesity crisis is huge right now, and so it's diabetes. They say one in three Americans is going to have diabetes within by the year 2040. One out of every three of us. And one out of every three of us now is obese. And all of that is fixable, I think. Gluten, getting it out of my body and getting wheat out of my body has been very important to me.
Okay, let's
That's
go
my
to
little
the
rant.
You got it. Sacramento we go. Hi, Gary, go ahead. Gary, you with us?
And
yeah.
George, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I have to start off by saying I get to correct Wayne. You're
yes,
not
you do.
73 years old. You're 73 years young.
You're right about that.
And for being so highly intelligent, I appreciate the way you keep things so simple. And I got to see your new show just night before last. And
the new PBS show. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's heart to heart, brother.
Yeah, it really is. My daughter's singing on there, and the letter she wrote, and it's a beautiful, beautiful show.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wayne, I get to correct you again. You haven't mentioned your daughter's new CD.
Oh yeah, my daughter Sky's got a. Thank you for that. Yeah, she's probably listening. It's called Letting Go. And
Gary's your assistant, isn't he, Wayne? Come on, tell me, he's your assistant.
Anyway, my daughter, Sky, who sings on that show, has a new CD out called Letting Go, and she sings a song called This Gift based on a letter that was written to me by one of my other daughters, and it's all part of the new PBS show. So, yeah. Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
How many episodes are there? How long will it run?
It's a three-hour show. It's for PBS, for fundraisers for PBS. It'll run during the pledge period. It'll run hundreds of times, thousands of times, literally, for the next several years. During PBS pledge breaks, and we offer thank you gifts and so on. But that's one of my things I'm most proud of, my pro bono work for PBS. We've done 10 PBS specials since 1998, and we've raised over $250 million I have alone just for public television in America. So I'm very proud of that. $250 million. Yeah.
We need that around.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. We do. Yeah.
Gary, thanks for your call. John
thanks,
is driving
pal.
On the 405, I assume, somewhere in California. Go ahead, John.
Hi, I'm home by now. I waited a while.
That's right.
Hey, Wayne, did I hear you say that your birthday is May 10th?
That's correct, 1940.
May 10th right here. So,
is that right?
We have the same birthday. You and me and Fred Astaire and Bono all have birthdays.
I know, that's absolutely right. And Ricky Nelson.
Ricky Nelson, too. Well, you know, I always thought it was great because, you know, 5'10", I just love that birthday. You know, the weather's nice and everything. But that's not what I called about. I wanted to ask you two questions. What if everybody did everything right and avoided accidents and car crashes and things like that, and they had a good attitude, they were able to get their mind, you know, you say your mind is healthy, your body can be healthier.
Right.
You did all that, you ate right, you avoided gluten. How many years could we add to our life, do you think, just on you know, based on the 76 years or 77 years we live now? Also, I want to ask you, what do you think was the concept? And I agree with you about the devil and all that, you know, that it's created, but why do you think it was created? My theory is that they did it back in the Dark Ages to keep people in line because their lives were so miserable.
Oh, sure. They created all kinds of concepts. They used to, you know, have sin taxes, and then there was too many people that were too holy, you know, so they created something called original sin, you know, so that you're born with this stuff, and you have to pay money to the various churches and so on in order to get rid of your original sin, all of that. I don't know how many years we would add, but I, you know, honestly, I don't even really believe that the death of the body is an absolute necessity. I think down the road, I mean, if we don't kill ourselves with these crazy nuclear weapons that we keep producing and so on, that they're going to figure out a way. That my friend Deepak Chopra says that the, you know, the DNA that is in each and every one of us is over 600,000 years old. There's absolutely no reason for the aging. That he says aging is a mistake of the intellect. It's just a belief system that we've all come into, and that ourselves don't really have to deteriorate. And you know, they say that the that what will happen to us when we're in our 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, what we call the older years, the elder years of our life, that what happens to us during those years is dependent upon one variable, and that variable is, what do you believe about aging when you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, you know, and as a teenager and so on. If you carry around a set of beliefs that as you get older, you have to become weaker, you become more deteriorated, you're not as sharp mentally, your acuity goes down, your memory loses. If you start believing and buying into all of this stuff, then ultimately you will. This is exactly what you will experience in your life when you get into your 60s and 70s. I've always believed that I was never going to let an old person move into my body, and that Alzheimer's wasn't something that was a possibility for me, and that my memory wasn't anything that had to go away, and that I was going to be able to. In fact, I'm still thinking about running another marathon. I've run 7 of them, and I'm thinking about running one before I turn 75, which is just a year and a half away. It's just what your collective beliefs are as you grow through your whole life. So whoever you are out there, if you believe that as you get older, things are going to get worse for you, then you will be living a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Wayne, you are living in an area on the Hawaiian Islands that could get hit with the Fukushima radiation. Any precautions or anything like that? Is it bothering you?
I try not to have fearful thoughts in me. I really believe it's not what you eat. It's what you believe about what you eat. And that if you really have a strong enough belief that you can drink nuclear waste and be healthy, I think that we need to be really cautious and careful about things like nuclear power and nuclear weapons and all of that, you know, when we're talking about radiation and so on. But I just personally don't choose to live in fear, and I don't going around worried about whether what I eat is going to destroy me, because I believe that my mind is more capable and more powerful than any radiation and any food or anything else like that. So,
east of the Rockies, Edward in Rogersville, Missouri. Hey, Edward, go ahead.
Hello, Wayne. This is an honor. I just watched your program tonight on PBS.
There you go, Wayne.
You've been a mentor to me now for about 5 years.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
And I wanted to tell you something. What you said today about getting the title first, I'm working on a volume of poetry called Body Language, Anatomy of a Poem. And I'm taking every area of the body and using it with all the normal everyday language commonly used. Shouldering the load, the eyes have it, getting ahead of the rest. A chest full of goodies. Waste not, want not. Anyway, one foot in front of the other. But these are some of the names. When I get it done, you're going to receive a copy, because it's also going to be, you're one of the people that I am dedicating it to.
Well, I'm very honored by that, my friend. I appreciate it. And that whole idea of having, you know, seeing it in advance, is like acting as if, you know, living from the end. This is one of the great secrets of manifestation. You don't use your senses, your five senses to determine what your reality is, because they lie to you all the time. You have to use your imagination and your inner world. And once you stop, you know, determining what reality is on the basis of what your senses tell you, and instead say, what it is that I would like to create is already manifested. It's already here. I'm going to act as if that were the case. And don't allow anything and to interfere with it. And then when you come from a place of divine love and move up that ladder, you know, you'll get the guidance. It'll be effortless, and you'll have the guidance that you need. That's the way it works.
I found out that I've been studying Carl Jung too. You kind of put me onto him, but it just goes along with. I have messed with yoga before, but Tai Chi has been something that I've really hung on to. And talk about synchronicity. I met the Grand Master and got to spend several days with Yang Jun.
Wow, good for you.
From China, yes. And it just kind of opened my eyes up, and I've been involved with a kinesiologist and different Qigong masters, and I have been focusing all my attention on energy medicine and energy healing, with wonderful results. And,
I do the same. It's all energy. It all boils down to energy. If you try to find out, if you take the very little drop of human protoplasm that created you in the very first instant of your existence as a physical being, and try to break it down and find out where it came from, you'll discover that it doesn't. That's like we have these particle accelerators that we rev up these subatomic particles at 250,000 miles an hour, and we crash them to find out what's the source of everything. And we open it up, and you look at it, and guess what? There's nothing there, because everything comes from energy, and energy has no form to it. Particles themselves do not create particles. And, you know, I always say Jesus Christ was a quantum physicist. He said it differently. He said it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Everything comes from an invisible intelligence, and it doesn't matter what you call it.
Any downside to any of this, Wayne, in terms of trying to develop yourself, self-empowerment? Can anything go wrong?
I don't think so. I mean, one of my favorite quotes is from Emerson. He said, "Within man is the soul of the whole, the wise silence, the universal beauty to which every part and particle is equally related, the eternal one. It's in every single one of us, this divine intelligence." And when you trust in yourself, when you really trust in who you are in yourself, you're basically trusting in the wisdom that created you. And when you start trusting in the wisdom that created you, and it doesn't matter, this is not a religious thing. It's like when you start beginning to be aware that this body that you have and all of its accomplishments and all of the things that it owns and so on, it's all illusion. All of that is just something that is going to, everything that materializes, dematerializes. But who you are is infinite. And when you get that, how can there be a downside to that? You know, all things are possible. I just think we'll be flying, you know, if we put our minds on it and really believe that it's possible.
Let's go to Ralph in Lewiston, Idaho. We'll get a call in here, maybe one more. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hi, George. Mr. Norrie, thank you for taking my call. I'm listening to you on the Cozy AM out of Lewiston, Idaho. Oh,
super. Thank you.
Dr. Dyer, how are you?
I'm great, thank you, my friend. How are you?
Great, thank you. I just have a quick question. Earlier in the show, you had mentioned something about some anger directed at a particular person. And I'm just, my question is, don't you or would you agree that hatred and anger is not really directed at a person, but really at their actions and their words? In other words, the things they do and the things they say are what make us angry and hate them. It's not them.
No, it's not. And what it is basically is that when you have an angry thought or a hateful thought,
what you're really doing is putting yourself into a weakened position. And that's why it's like you should never, having thoughts that never weaken you is what I call the 10 secrets of success and inner peace. Never have a thought that weakens you. If I were to hold your arm up, and just ask you to try to push it down while you're thinking a thought of hate or anger, you'll find yourself getting very, very weak. It happens. It's called kinesiology. If I were to instead say to you, instead of thinking a thought of anger or hate or shame or fear or worry, instead of thinking that thought, hold your arm out and think a thought of when you felt most loved in your life, when you felt the most grateful, most happy, most content, most loved, and you go to push down and you find that it strengthens you, that your thoughts literally strengthen or weaken the muscles in your body. And your heart, of course, is a muscle, and all of the arteries in your body are surrounded by, muscles, and all of the joints have muscles around them, so that every thought that we have of anger and hatred or negativity, and particularly shame, it's one of the strongest emotions for weakening us. And as we do this, so thoughts of anger and hatred are really just things that are impairing us and weakening us. And generally, you don't have thoughts of anger or hatred toward others. It's because you have something within yourself that you're not pleased with. Otherwise, you just ignore it and let it go and be in a place of love.
Great. Wayne, thanks again for being on the program. Wayne Dyer, his latest work, I Can See Clearly Now. For Nathan Staton, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.